This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And this afternoon, we're taking a look at the work of Umpqua Valley Habitat for Humanity. Robin Hartman in. Thanks for coming in today. You've been involved with Habitat for a long time. How long has it been?
Well, I've been executive director for the organization since 2015. So I've been, a handful of years there.
What got you involved with Habitat?
Well, my background's in natural resources and specifically with nonprofits dealing with conservation and natural resource issues. And it just, when the Habitat position opened. I jumped for it because it's really about wood products and putting wood products to work in your community, and it's real engaging in the community.
Over the decades, probably Habitat really became the best known during the Jimmy Carter administration because of his work for the organization. Give folks kind of an overall thumbprint of what Habitat does in various places.
Sure. We've got over 1,000 affiliates is what we call them. They're like chapters across the nation. They're at work in various communities. And we are guided by Habitat International, which is based out of Atlanta, Georgia. And long ago, Jimmy Carter started taking on projects. And so he has a special program that he runs each year. And I was fortunate enough when I lived in Washington, D.C. to go out on a Jimmy Carter build and get to work for a little while alongside him there.
One of the interesting things about that, after he left the White House, too, was that he was very focused on doing that. And I remember a jaded media person who left a photo op and kind of huddled around the corner and then reported later that after all the cameras had gone away, the former president worked for another 8 or 9 hours.
There's no doubt he's a hard worker, and he's really known for that.
Yeah, it's been real interesting to follow there. So talk about, we're going to cover a number of things Habitat's doing, but really want to focus on what you're doing to help people that were impacted by the Archie Creek wildfire, if I can get that out, September of 2020. And it's hard to think about. Every time I go up the North Umpqua, I almost think there's a part of me that almost expects, oh, that was just a bad dream. But it's not.
Yeah.
And it's reality for hundreds of people in that area. I know a few of them who, lost everything, lost their homes up there. So what has Habitat been doing since all this took place?
Well, that season, the 2020 season, was really bad all across Oregon. And, folks in Phoenix and Talent right there in town in southern Oregon also lost thousands of homes. On the Archie Creek wildfire, it took over 109 homes. And Glide Revitalization is the lead organization in Glide. They're considered the long-term recovery group. And so Habitat for Humanity has been working alongside of them. They point us in the direction of families or individuals who were hardest hit. When the fire hit, it didn't consider what was going on in people's lives. It hit when, maybe an insurance payment hadn't been made. So there were folks who were underinsured or uninsured in that moment in time. And so we've been building outbuildings and helping folks in those first stages of rebuilding and relocating after the fire.
So what's the, talk about the importance of getting an outbuilding. And I know that for some people, that's kind of the first step.
It is. And, when you go up there, it's hard to even comprehend what has happened there. It's so vast and such an impact. But we'll go up various canyons to places that were once just people's ideal home sites. And there's really absolutely not a tree left. Just rocks, melted canoes, bathtubs sitting out in the middle of nowhere. And we're helping them build what they need most is equipment sheds to secure their equipment as they're rebuilding. We're building well houses so they can start getting running water to their property, well and pump houses. If people have moved in a mobile home or a modular home, they need, you know, either a handicap ramp or a porch or some access to their new home. So we're just kind of working with Glide Revitalization to identify who's in the most need and what we can do to help build these smaller structures to get them started again.
So you're calling this Pathway to Permanence and Preparedness Project, and one aspect is also providing, I guess, knowledge for folks looking up the road.
That's right. You know, a lot of people were, especially young people, were traumatized by such an event when you have a home and security one day and then you're without it the next. And so what has been found is, as if people, especially young people, learn more about disaster preparedness, it strengthens them and gives them more of a sense that they have their future in their control. And so we're, last year we taught a disaster preparedness course for at-risk youth, including wildfire survivor youth and homeless youth here in Roseburg. And it's a four-day course. We'll be offering it again this year in summertime, date to be announced. But it's we teach or planning for disasters for individuals in the and your family, how to forage for food, you know, fun things that kids love to do. Also, the participants get their first aid certificate and CPR certificate. And we, for those that complete the course, they put together a bug out bag. So they'll have a backpack filled with really cool gear to get them, you know, that they can grab and go if there is some kind of disaster. Backpacking over in Sutherland helped us a lot with this project last year.
So as you're constructing the outbuildings and some of these structures, how many construction projects do you think you've completed so far?
I think we're working on our 20th project right now. We're working on a pump house on a site up Bar L Ranch Road. So we usually have one or two teams of volunteers going at the same time. So we have five to 10 people working on a job site. These are local people from Glide, but there are core group and core teams of volunteers. We meet with the landowner, talk about what their needs are, develop a design and an estimate on costs, and then we provide a $2,500 grant from the Home Depot Foundation. And then Glide Revitalization works with us and United Way as well to find additional funding if needed.
I know when the Archie Creek fire happened, there was a lot of outpouring, a lot of funds came in, a lot of practical things, almost an overwhelming amount at times. And it's easy for people to, we're kind of conditioned to move on to the next thing in life, but yet it's for the people impacted, this is not a media headline for a few days that goes away with the end of the news cycle. This is years of work ahead.
That's exactly right. You know, that first year, this was learning for us. We were fortunate to have Habitat International, that is a disaster expert, and they work around the globe on disasters and in the nation. They taught us how to be kind of patient, provide that early response engagement, and then now we're in this phase of long-term recovery, and that's really what it is. It takes a long time for landowners to decide what to do, to get their property cleaned up, to decide whether to sell or move to another location or to rebuild. And so we're helping them on that pathway to permanence and just trying to be there where we can help.
So how many volunteers do you have involved in all of this?
We have about probably a dozen volunteers. On any day, we'll have from 5 to 10 volunteers out on the site. We can usually split into two teams of five on most days so we can have two projects going at once. But we welcome more, because the more hands, the lighter the work. And it's a really great place to learn how to build a shed. We're thinking, we're sheds for us right now. That's kind of the core of what we do is just focus on building. We're really good at it now, is building these structures and customizing them to fit the landowner's needs.
All right, Robin Hartman from Habitat for Humanity with us. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 on Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Umpqua Valley Live later, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4 on Mondays inside Douglas County. A look ahead to the upcoming 40th anniversary of the beginning of the Cow Creek Umpqua Tribe of Indians. Michael Rondeau, tribal CEO, will be on Mondays inside Douglas County. Robin Hartman with us from Habitat for Humanity, the Umpqua Valley chapter, talking about the work they're doing to help people impacted by the Archie Creek wildfire. As you go through the disaster preparedness aspect of this, I understand you have been providing or are going to be providing some scholarships for young people.
Yeah, this year what we're hoping to do is offer scholarships for up to 20 young people from this wildfire area. To help them participate in this. And so eventually we'll have that information out about how to apply for those scholarships. But in the meantime, if you know of anybody who was a survivor of the wildfire area or the wildfire and ages 13 through 24, you could have them contact us at our phone number, 541-672-6182. Or send us an email at info@umpquavalleyhabitat.org.
You know, it's interesting to work on one of these projects, I imagine, because of the long-term aspect of this. I mean, that you're volunteers, you got to have people that are really committed to doing this for a while.
It is. Our volunteer group, we just finished up last year. We worked a little over a year on a new home construction on Broccoli Street just off of Harvard in Roseburg for a family, and it just turned out beautifully. And so, and before that, we built two new homes in Sutherland. And so our crew is really good at building these new homes. And so we switched gears to building sheds and porches and patios or ramps. And I am surprised at how committed our volunteers are to making that extra drive up the canyon. And some of these places are really remote, way up off of 138, way up in the mountains. And hail, rain, snow, we've been working round the year rebuilding, but we have a core group of committed volunteers, and it might be the local food from Glide restaurants that keeps them coming back, because we have really good lunches that provided for our volunteers there. But they build a camaraderie with each other, and I think the main reason they go out there is just it's immediate. You can see immediate gratitude for helping these folks and just the camaraderie they build with each other.
And when you get one of these buildings done or a ramp done or whatever you're working on, when you leave and you're completely finished, whether that's, you know, as for most cases, probably a number of trips up there to do that, and you can walk away knowing that you've made an impact.
It is true, and everybody's needs are just a little bit different. You know, some people have taken a shed and put their washer and dryer in it. They've got electricity to their bare property. They've got a trailer pulled in there, and now they're able to do their laundry. I mean, it's that bleak sometimes. So some people, they store their chainsaws and their outdoor equipment or their lawn equipment there while they're rebuilding and clearing their site. Some people have relocated. One in Idlewild Park, she needed a porch built. And so it's just immediate, all these things serve the individuals and families immediately.
Now, Habitat, besides this, you've got other things that are going on and coming out of COVID as events start to happen. Talk about some of the things, other things going on this year.
Okay. Well, in addition to, you know, grants that we are able to obtain to help with the wildfire recovery, we're always doing a set of fundraisers to support our work. And, you know, we have a couple things that usually occur annually, but COVID kind of got in the way the last couple years. But each year we provide the volunteers for the ticket booth at the American Legion Ballpark. And so I'm seeking a core group of 6 to 10 volunteers to just come and sit in the ticket booth and accept payment for entry into the game and just make a little conversation with folks as they're coming to the ballpark. And it's real easy volunteer duty. At the end of the year, the season, American Legion provides a generous donation to Habitat for that, and we put that toward affordable homes.
So if somebody wants to get on the schedule for that, I mean, they're not committing to be there every game, right?
No. You just pick out, we'll have an open schedule. You just pick out a day or two that you want to do it, or a repeat time, say, once every other week or something. And you come and you just sit in a chair for 2 hours and greet people and take in the sunshine and sunshine and listen to the crack of the ball against the bat and enjoy just a relaxing time. It's a really kind of zen place to be.
Wow. So Habitat was known for a long time for your annual Brewfest, and I understand that's back too.
Yes, we're really excited about this, and we feel this is the year it's going to happen again. So it's our called Hammer and Nails Brewfest, and we've scheduled it for September 17th. It's a Saturday, and it'll be at Backside Brewing again. And so, again, we need to make it happen. We need volunteers, and that includes volunteer pourers and sort of event hosts. And folks can, you know, also call us or email us to let us know they're interested in volunteering. Those who volunteer get a free entry into the event.
And I imagine that to be a pourer, do you have to go through a certain level on OLCC?
Well, we have somebody who leads a training on that before the event. It's usually just a short couple-hour training, so you'll be ready to go. But if you do have a server's license, that makes it even extra helpful for us. It helps us provide good oversight and direction for the volunteers that come that night.
And so you end up with getting brew from a lot of different places.
We usually have around 70 different brews to taste during the event. It's a lot.
And I'm trying to think. I think about 3 would be it for me. But
yeah, that's probably a good recommendation.
But a lot of opportunity. And so that's not just obviously the Umpqua Valley folks. That's around the region.
Yes. It's a regional brew fest, and we like to invite our local breweries as well as we have distributors who support us who bring beer in from other breweries in other areas.
Now, amidst everything else, talk about your home repair program.
Okay. Well, we try to keep our home repair program going as well. We serve mostly sort of central Douglas County, but if someone calls in and they've got a problem with their foundation or a problem with something structural or we call it critical home repair, or if they need an access ramp, a handicap ramp, or an alteration on their home to make it easier for someone to live there. They can give us a call and we'll send our construction manager over to do an estimate. People do, and a design. And then you can take a look and see if it's something that you think the family or the individual would like to invest in. We charge for materials and the time of our construction manager, but we usually can come up with an easy payment program or find local groups that can provide additional assistance.
Wow, so a lot going on with Habitat. Give folks your contact information again to help out.
Sure. It's really simple. It's our phone number is 541-672-6182. and an email can be sent to info@umpquavalleyhabitat.org.
All right, Robin Hartman, Executive Director of Umpqua Valley Habitat for Humanity. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.